वाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं देव्यं ततो जयं उदीरेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भावती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 72 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। न कश्चिन्मत्परं लोके तेजसा यशसा श्रिया विभूतिभिर्वाभि भवेत् देवोऽपि किम् उपार्थिव। न कश्चिन्मत्परं लोके तेजसा यशसा श्रिया विभूतिभिर्वाभि भवेत् देवो अपि किम् उपार्थिव। न कश्चिन्मत्परं लोके तेजसा यशसा श्रिया विभूतिभिर्वाभि भवेत् देवो अपि किम् उपार्थिव। माताजी, ना नॉट कश्चित एनी पर्सन मत टू मी परम वन हु इज डेडिकेटेड लोके इन दिस वर्ल्ड तेजसा बाय हिज स्ट्रेंथ यशसा fame, shriya, beauty, vibhuti bhi, opulences, va, or abhibhavet, can overcome, devaha, a demigod, api, even, kim u, what to speak of, Parthiva, a ruler of the earth. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. No one in this world, even a demigod, what to speak of an earthly king, can defeat my devotee with his strength, beauty, fame or riches. Purport. Here Lord Krishna assures King Yudhishthir that he will have no problem conquering the worldly kings, since the king is a pure devotee and the Lord's pure devotees can never be conquered even by the demigods. What to speak of earthly kings? Although materialists are proud of their power, fame, beauty and opulence, they can never surpass the pure devotees of the Lord in any of these categories. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamhayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishbhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we welcome all the devotees. Wish you a very Merry Christmas. Seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees before starting and attempting to speak something. On Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 72, the slaying of demon Jarasandh. So this is a beautiful chapter, and especially this verse which is talking about no one in this world, even a demigod, what to speak of an earthly king, can defeat my devotee. Now this whole concept of defeating and conquering and being conquered, that's the kind of basic principle of material existence. Conquering and being conquered. Everybody's trying to conquer each other or conquer something in this world. And everybody is in a mad drive to conquer. So we'll discuss this for a few minutes, this concept of conquering, how this is a very overwhelming drive. I was hearing one of the Srila Prabhupada's story by Govindadasi Mataji, that how they were making a beautiful painting of Lord Narasimha and Prahlad. And Prabhupada was telling, directing them how Narasimha Dev looked like and how he appeared, because they had no idea what Narasimha Dev and who this personality is, half man, half lion. And Prabhupada was telling them how to draw demons. And they were drawing demons and they made a beautiful painting and Prabhupada liked it. And then Sri Prabhupada said, oh, this is how demons are. And then Prabhupada told, even now these demons exist. And Govindadasi Mataji said, oh really, even now these demons exist? Where do they exist? I never knew that. And Prabhupada said, you don't know many things. But then Prabhupada explains, demons means demons exist everywhere. You know, they don't have to like look like demons. So this whole, what you say, propensity to conquer in material world in Bhagavad Gita is labeled as demoniac propensity. Divine and demoniac. The whole demoniac culture, Prabhupada, the Lord Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, idam adyamaya labdham imam prapsya manoratham idam asti idam api me bhavishyati punardhanam. Idam adya maya labdham, now I have conquered this much. Imam prapse manoratham, idam asti, now I have this much. I have fulfilled so many desires, and in future I will conquer much more. And I will achieve what I do not have. And the mind is constantly planning what I have and what I have to achieve. This propensity to conquer. Asau maya hata shatrur hanishya chaparanapi. Now I have conquered so many enemies, so many states, or so many kingdoms, or so many areas I have conquered. Now I will conquer whatever is remaining. Hanishya chaparanapi. Ishwaro aham aham bhogi. I am the Ishwar. I am the bhogi. Siddho ham balavan sukhi. So like that, these verses go on, describing how I am the conqueror and I will conquer much more. You see, this propensity to conquer is present from the smallest living entity, an ant, to the most advanced human being on the planet, or to the demigods. As this verse says, no one, even a demigod, can defeat. You see, an ant is trying to conquer and Indra is trying to conquer, who is the king of demigods. You should see how ants try to conquer. A cockroach try to conquer. You know, you should study how cockroaches and ants. There's one story of Prabhupada in Montreal. No, I don't know where is he, but anyway, I think in Montreal, and in his room there is a cockroach. And he picks up the cockroach, opens the window, puts the cockroach outside, and he tells the cockroach, go, I give you the whole world to enjoy. Go and conquer. So it's all about conquering. We were in Govardhan, Giriraj, in the holy dham of Govardhan, Vrindavan, decent parikrama. And we were in this room which is full of ants. So many ants everywhere. Even while parikrama, you know, you see so many ants some places. So many ants. And in our room, we were like three of us staying together. And one devotee had some medicinal requirements and he had kept some dates and some raisins. Now it was such a difficult thing to keep the dates and raisins protected from ants. So it was a mutual conquering game going on. Where to keep? So one day I said, hey, you are so disturbed. I found a very good place. Okay, now we will keep all this. This is a small bag, this much dates and this much raisins. I said, you see this wall, on top of that this curtain rod, it's so high. And even that rod is coming out of the wall just by small, like this much link, you know. I said, we'll hang it in that hook so there's no way this ant can go there. And moreover, it's sealed box, tightly locked. And I hung there and then we went to Radhanand Maharaj's class and we are okay, our dates are protected. You see the hole in the class, but our dates we have conquered. Okay, now they are protected. And then 3 hours later, we come back and we see the whole wall is full of ants and the dates are full of ants. And we are wondering, how did they enter there? And then this devotee said, I got an idea where to hide them now. I said, fine. I said, I will not tell you. I will hide and then you tell me where I hid. I said, fine. Then, so this imagine, in Govardhan Dham, we are trying to conquer over the ants and ants are trying to conquer us. This whole, as we say, survival of the fittest, or, you know, what is another phrase? We are just trying to conquer each other. And then there was a... He hid the dates, and I am wondering, where did he hide them? Not that I wanted to eat them, but I was just curious, where did he hide them? And there was a water jar of the hotel, or whatever lodge where we are staying. And he opened the jar, he emptied all the water and he put all the dates and the raisins inside and he tightly locked it. And he told me, now you search. Can you search? And I was not able to search. I said, anyway, I'll find out by evening. But before I could find out, ants found it, ants entered there, conquered the whole dates and raisins. I don't know how they did that. No, we were wondering how. There's a constant fight to conquer something, to achieve something. Either it's ants or cockroaches, or to the highest, you talk about demigods, Indra get all worried when somebody is doing some tapasya and trying to conquer his senses and mind. He gets all worried that he will become so powerful. And as long as a person has a desire to conquer something, some position, some object, some relation in this world, philosophy of Krishna consciousness does not sink inside. It just does not sink inside till that desire is fulfilled. You see this example of Chitraketu Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj, when these two rishis came to meet Chitraketu Maharaj, they could see that till he get a son, he is not open to the philosophy or toward the truth of life, to the reality of life. So the whole idea is, they gave him a son and okay, his name will be Harsh Shok. But the point is, first the Harsh element was given. The Harsh in material world. Till the time that Harsh element is not given, and it automatically turns into Shok. Because nature of material world is any Harsh is going to turn into Shok. So till the Harsh element is sufficiently given, as per your nature, as per your need, as per our whatever in material conditionings we have, desires, anarthas, that Harsh element is given, the person, and it automatically turns sour and shok, a person is just not ready for philosophy. Like this one boy, you know, this is interesting that you know, we try to preach and people sometimes hear and you are wondering, are they really hearing? Do they really know what I am trying to say? Especially to a newcomer sometimes. Just sitting like, you know, just dolls as if nothing is entering in. So this one boy, I am telling, you know, come to Mangal Aarti, come to Mangal Aarti. It's just so special. At least once in a week. Not in winter season, at least in a nice climate, you know, when the climate is nice, even then you come. No, Mangal Aarti difficult. Then recently, for one of our programs coming up, we had a cultural kind of practice, a dance practice. And imagine, just look at this, Mangal Aarti does not give any interest. But in the realm of Krishna consciousness, if you create an activity which gives you and me and all of us some harsh according to our desire. So we created a whole this dance event, you know, this 10 of these boys practicing dance and... on a westernized music, Krishna song, you know. I forgot the tune also. It's very interesting. Radhe, Radhe, Sham, something, some tune is there. And all these boys, oh, we are going to come on the stage. And yes, we are going to wear all this fancy dress. And we are going to be dancing on the and without any notice, everybody is coming in the morning at 6:30, 6:45, ready for dance. And the smile on the face... and the enthusiasm and the jubilant. And I'm wondering what happened to this person. He was not... And the same boy does not wake up any day before 12 noon. Before 12 noon, he has never seen sunrise. And now 6:30 is looking at me. Oh, sunrise is so great. It's wonderful to wake up. I said, you never woke up. He said, years have gone when I woke up like this. 12 noon is the earliest. Maybe 1 or 2 or something like that. So you provide an element of harsh. And then the person gets all excited. Ah, now I have the sun which I want. Now I have conquered which I wanted to conquer. And we know automatically that pleasure is going to turn into us, become stale and dry and shook somewhere. Maybe some envy or some pride or some anger or some disturbance will just come up. And then suddenly you become open. Oh, you know, what is the truth of this world? I was giving this recent Sunday feast 3 weeks back. And I was trying to make a point in the Sunday feast that how ISKCON temples, I was telling that how one person came to Govinda's restaurant and ate an ice cream, vanilla with choco sauce. If you heard the Sunday feast class, you might wonder why I am raising that point again. Because the story happened further. So I was talking about vanilla with choco sauce, and I mentioned at least 4 times about this ice cream, vanilla with choco sauce, in Sunday feast. And the Sunday feast ended, and I was making the point that how ISKCON temples are not for vanilla with choco sauce or Govinda's pizza, but they are for hearing and chanting. So we were discussing this point. And the Sunday feast ended, and then I had to go to some house program, some small program we went to. And immediately I got down and I walked out. And about 6 o'clock I came back. And at the gate, one after another devotee are meeting me. Prabhu, we went to Govinda's, your ice cream doesn't exist. Then I came little few steps further. One devotee, hey, we went to Govinda's, your ice cream doesn't exist. And somebody said, Prabhuji, stock khatam ho gaya uska. And then one devotee asked, you know what the point I made? He said, I don't know the point, but you swore so many times vanilla with choco sauce, so I was vanilla with choco sauce. So I was just waiting for the class to end and go to Govinda's and have vanilla with choco sauce. And then Govinda's devotee came and he is telling me, Prabhuji, aapne kya bola? Aisa ice cream to hum Govinda mein rakhte hi nahi hai. And then I am wondering, arre, maine apni aankhon se khate hue dekha ek devotee ko, and that devotee was glorifying like anything. How can you say nahi rakhte? Then I called up that devotee, hey, how did you get vanilla, it's vanilla cold ice cream with hot choco sauce and it's fuming. Anyway, now all of you don't start going there because it doesn't exist anyways. So then I called this devotee, I said, how did you get it? And he said, oh, that was just a special order made for that moment only on the request of a certain devotee. He said, now you send a mail to the full congregation that you did a big blunder in Sunday feast, otherwise they will keep troubling Govindas. So the point is, when you are overwhelmed by a certain object to satisfy your senses, your mind, the philosophy just does not enter. But so many other things conquer, You hear a lecture, but instead of Krishna, some other things conquer your mind and senses. Some other objects conquer your mind and senses. But somebody whose mind has been completely conquered by Krishna, as this verse says, a pure devotee. A devotee whose mind and senses are completely conquered by Krishna, no one in this world, even a demigod, what to speak of earthly king, can defeat a devotee with his strength, beauty, fame or riches. Now this is the theme we are discussing now, onwards. How this propensity to conquer is there. And as long as we are getting conquered by other objects, Krishna consciousness, we just can't go deep into Krishna consciousness. Yesterday, Dayanidhi Prabhu was giving a beautiful class and he was mentioning this point. That unless one gets completely conquered by Krishna, he cannot conquer Krishna. He was, I think, quoting from Radhanand Maharaj's class, some point like that. That one has to be completely conquered by Krishna. And that is the pure devotee being referred here. That he cannot be defeated by anyone with strength, beauty, fame or riches. Now here we are speaking about we getting conquered by a dance class or vanilla with choco sauce or whatever and not trying to really understand this philosophy. On the other side, the same Chitraketu who had the desire to get a son. This now we discuss about Chitraketu, desire to get a son. Nothing else would enter his heart. But the same Chitraketu, later on, when he had darshan of the Lord and he was completely conquered by Krishna, and his mind and senses were completely overwhelmed with devotion to Sri Krishna. The same Chitraketu later on, when he was cursed by Parvati, when he was cursed for making a small mistake, so-called mistake, that curse could not conquer him. He was cursed to become a demon, but that could not affect him at all. That could not evoke his anger. That could not cause him rebellion or rebellious. He was absolutely unagitated and undisturbed, welcoming whatever come. There is no material provocation which could conquer him and agitate him. There is no material object which could conquer him. Because he was completely conquered by the plan of Sri Krishna. Four things are mentioned here. Strength, beauty, fame and riches. We will discuss maybe one or two examples of each of them. Whatever in my capacity I know, I am trying to share. Strength, beauty, fame or riches. Let us speak about strength. Oh, I read this beautiful book. If you have not read, you must read this Govind Prabhu's book, Hand of God. Such a nice book. So many wonderful insights are given. This book talks about the life of Pandavas. Talking about strength. Now, Arjun, what kind of devotee he is? We know that story how Arjun and Duryodhan both go to Sri Krishna to get his support for the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna is going to be on whose side? Duryodhan sits near the face of Krishna. Arjun sits near the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna is naturally wanting to see, should be seeing Duryodhan first, but he wants to see Arjun first, so he sees Arjun first. And later on when he wakes up, he sees Arjun first, then he says, oh, I saw Arjun first, I should give the boon to Arjun, let him get the first chance. And moreover, he is younger, he should get the first chance. So somebody may say, oh, Krishna was very partial, he gave chance to Arjun and not to Duryodhan. Now, we have to see the character of this personality, Arjun. What is it in him which has completely conquered Krishna? Absolutely. Krishna is ready to do anything for Arjun. He knew that what Arjun is interested into. He is not interested. No, he gave a choice. He said, one of you can have me and one of you can have my Narayani Sena. Now, Narayani Sena means each one of them powerful as Narayan. Each one of them is powerful weapons. And Krishna is telling, I am not going to lift any weapon. I am not going to fight. Now when such a choice is given, naturally anybody get bewildered. Arey, he kya karega ek akela aadmi? Itni badi sena hai. Anybody who will see Krishna as an ordinary man will get bewildered. Arey, what he will do? And here such a big sena. I think how many? 1 lakh people were there in that or something? Big sena. And what cowherd boy Krishna will do? Now Krishna specifically gave chance to Arjun to increase the glories of Arjun, because if he would have given chance to Duryodhan first and Duryodhan has said, of course I want your sena, I mean what I will do with one person, of course I want your sena, and then Arjun would have been left with no choice. Abhi kya kare, abhi ek hi bacha hai, usko hi lene ka. But he gave choice to Arjun because he knew that Arjun is going to ask for me. And Duryodhan is going to ask for Sena. And if I give choice to Arjun first, the whole world will come to know that Arjun had both the choices. Narayani Sena and Krishna separate. He had choices. Only Krishna or the whole Sena. Only Krishna with no weapons. He will not fight. He will not raise any weapons. And Arjun chose Krishna. And Duryodhan was so happy, oh, I tricked him and I got the whole sena, and Arjun is foolish and he doesn't know. And after Duryodhan leaves, then there is a wonderful conversation which I read in that book that Arjun and Krishna are having. And Krishna is telling you, you did a foolish mistake. I gave you first chance so that you would have made a right choice. What will I do? Alone, no weapon. I will not even fight. And Arjuna goes into a series of statements. He says, wherever you are, success is there. Wherever, whatever you do, that is victory. Whoever has your support, that is success. What will I do with the whole sena? All the intelligence is there when you are there. All the direction is there when you are there. And Arjuna sits down at the lotus feet and says, not only become the charioteer of my chariot, but become the charioteer of my life. Guide me at every step. And Krishna gets completely conquered. In fact, when Krishna goes as a peacemaker, I was thinking this interesting thing. He specifically goes to Karna at one point. And he goes to the extent of begging Karna that anyway you are not going to fight till Bhishma is there. Anyway, you are not going to fight till Bhishma is there. So for so many days, come and fight on our side. And after Bhishma is gone, go and fight on their side. Now that requires a great... It requires a humility, you know, kind of... Matlab, Arjun ke liye naak ragadne ko tayyar. I was thinking like that, you know, for Pandavas. He was, because Krishna knew, this fellow is a rascal, he's not going to come and help us. Especially when you know he is not going to help, he is immediately going to raise hands, nahi ho sakta bhaiya. And still Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, has to bow down, bend down in front of a person who is never going to, but still he is going to say, please help, come, fight on this side. To that degree Krishna was conquered by Arjuna. And this point struck me, because one devotee I was trying to cultivate, and he was telling me that one of his relatives, he said, can you please go and invite him for such and such program? And I was thinking, if I go to invite this relative, I know he is a very, very rough and harsh and very, very, like what you say, he speaks very roughly and he has no respect. And I knew he is going to be disrespectful. And I was thinking, how will I go and bend down? And especially many would be there at that time, and I would be highly disrespected in front of everyone. So generally when a preacher goes, we have this automatic, you know, everybody offers respect, okay. But suddenly now we know that he is going to be disrespectful. How can you go? It's difficult. And at one point actually I was forced by the circumstance to go and kind of, you know, beg. Although I did not want to. So then I was thinking, wow, Krishna is amazing. Just for Pandava's sake, he is ready to go and do anything, because he was completely conquered by Arjun and other Pandavas. Now when such a devotee completely conquers Krishna, such a devotee cannot be defeated by anyone. What to speak of earthly kings, not even demigods. Cannot conquer him by strength, beauty, fame or riches. And we see Arjun's example with Karna again. Now Karna, his only dream was that he has to fight Arjun and kill Arjun. That was his one point attention. And in fact when Indra came to take away his kavach, that time Karna... He immediately gave. Indra came in the form of Brahman and he was a charitable person, so he immediately gave. Although Surya Dev had warned him never to give your kavach, he gave. And in return he said, give me a Shakti weapon. Now when he asked for Shakti weapon, and that was specifically, Indra also knew, everybody knew why he needs Shakti weapon. It is meant to target Arjun. Indra gave, and that time he said, you may have this, but one thing you should know. Now see, here Karna is trying to defeat Arjun by his strength and trying to accumulate all the strengths. Whatever material strength he is trying to accumulate, Indra has given that. Oh, demigod, let us see, a demigod. king of demigods is given that weapon. What to speak of earthly kings, even demigods? Indra said, I am giving you this weapon, but you should know, as long as Krishna is there on that side, Krishna is with Arjuna, no weapon can ever touch Arjuna. It's convinced, any strength, any skill you have, any power you have, any weapon you have, even Indra, even the opponent had the faith. Of course, Indra is not the opponent, but he had that faith. Krishna is there, my weapon will not work. It will not work. So that's nobody can defeat with his strength, fame or riches. And we see the same example of Indra and the worldly kings in the case of Vrajavasis. We have Kamsa on one side and we have Indra on other side. Both are trying to target Vrajavasis. Both are trying to destroy Vrajavasis by sending demons, by sending shower torrents of rains. But neither Indra nor Kamsa can touch Vrajavasis because they are fully conquered, and they have fully conquered Sri Krishna by their love and devotion. Devotee becomes really powerful. No power can actually stop a devotee from achieving the mission he is meant for. Even Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela one time. That was an interesting story. He wanted to go to Kumbh Mela. And he wanted to go to Kumbh Mela, and they were not sure how will they go. It was all these trains, overloaded, sitting on the top of the trains. And Prabhupada told his disciples, "Oh, I will take you. And they are wondering, how will he take us? And they are planning, and they didn't realize just 2 months before they are supposed to go to Kumbh Mela, just 2 months before, a devotee happens to join them. Become devotee. A person happens to become like a ISKCON devotee. And they didn't realize when time for Kumbh Mela came, they realized this fellow, some Mr. Gupta or some name is there, he is one of the chief engineers of Indian Railways. And he comes to know, Swamiji has a desire to go to Kumbh Mela. And he says, he immediately arranges two separate bogies. Now see, this devotee doesn't exist in ISKCON, just come 2 months before the Kumbh Mela time, puts two extra bogies in the train for going to Kumbh Mela. One full bogie, the first class, is fully reserved for Srila Prabhupada and his personal servant. Another bogie is for his servants. The whole bogie is freshly painted. It is all covered with garlands. And they are wondering, when they go to Kumbh Mela, how will they reach whatever site they want to go? So he loads two cars inside the train, so that when he gets off the train, he sits in the car and goes to Kumbh Mela. And this all happens when Prabhupada is desiring to go to Kumbh Mela. And then they go to Kumbh Mela, and then Prabhupada desires, and then this devotee was telling, Prabhupada desires to have milk. And it's so difficult to arrange things in those times. And this devotee gets a whole cow and keeps next to the room of Prabhupada and says, okay, here is the cow, you can have milk when you want. Devotee is powerful, nothing can defeat. One who has conquered Krishna, Krishna is completely conquered. So the main job is conquer Krishna by your love and devotion. Of course, I think yesterday or somebody mentioned day before that. Not that we start thinking that we can conquer Krishna, but main thing is strengthening your love and devotion and trying to conquer Krishna. And then another thing which is mentioned is worldly kings. So if you remember Rukmini Devi's chapter, she is mentioning who are the kings. And this is mentioned actually many places. Who are the kings? He said, okay, you may have so many kings, powerful people, the rich people, the beautiful people. But then he says, actually the kings in this world are the three modes, which have really conquered, and it's so difficult to surpass the modes. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu on the recent Sunday feast started about the modes very nicely. He said, if you do not know what are the modes, at least you know what are the moods. Mode nahi malum to mood to malum hai. And you all have, I think he didn't use the word swings, but I am just saying, you all have mood swings. Sometimes the mood is high, sometimes the mood is in the mode of goodness, sometimes. Then he was describing how our moods vary. Sometimes the mood is go to sleep. Right? Coming before the class, sometimes go to sleep. And sometimes the mood to work hard. Sometimes mood to enjoy the serene, scenic beauty of the nature. These different moods are there, and different modes, they indicate different modes. And these moods are so difficult to overcome. Our personal moods, our physical, our our emotional needs, our psychological needs, they are just so difficult to overcome. Now see, these are worldly kings, and these moods drive us to do crazy things. These moods drive us to really fall into illusion again and again. And if you really start analyzing the power of moods, you will see it's so difficult to overcome. Like I was reading one book. This is a book about how to, I forgot the title of the book, but about good health, how to make good health. And this is by one of the famous, very famous authors. I really forgot the name and the book. And there is a whole chapter, pages after pages, talking about sex impulse. Then how this is the basic need of every living entity. And going chapter after page after page after page, that how one should enjoy his senses as much as one's want, because that is the way to good health. And I was thinking, this is absolutely, what we hear in Krishna consciousness, either it's a brahmachari or a grahast or whoever, an actor of instruction starts with controlling the urges. Now when one reads such books, actually one will start feeling, wow, that makes sense. Controlling the urges and not doing what you want to do and not letting your desires completely fulfilled, this can really affect the health. These books actually convince you very thoroughly, if you do not fulfill your needs the way you desire, all this, they really create such a desire, not only about senses, but anything, your mental needs, your psychology, just fulfill. And then at one place it is written, if you do not fulfill, your vata gets completely imbalanced. And I was discussing this with one of the devotees in the ashram, that we were just having laugh at this point. He said, wow, the whole morning program is actually, 5 to 9, you are sitting, trying to focus on Krishna. When you do not want to focus on Krishna, you're trying to, in Mangal Arati, meditate on deities for half an hour, your mind is going in all different directions, your 2 hours, and this devotee was telling, isiliye baat badh jata hai. Because we are trying to do something which we don't want to do. We were just joking, I'm not saying morning program should be stopped, but we were just laughing, and isiliye, it just goes crazy. And these medical philosophies say that if you do not let your needs or desires fulfill, then your vata, pitta, kapha, everything goes imbalance. And I was looking, wow, let's look at this Dashrathi's example. That man was a scholar. He really was into shastras, and he was asking his guru the meaning of sarvadharman parityajya, and he put him into a seva, the last thing he ever thought of doing. And he put him, go and, wash the vessels and do some household duties and help this lady. And some simple lady came from somewhere and said, "Ja, aur naukri karo, kitna din malum bhi nahi." This is like scholarly. And for 6 months, I was thinking, if you start looking over these examples of Ramanujacharya and or Acharyas from this philosophy point of view, they are giving orders completely against the desire. And then given order, and then no target is given. Okay, ek mahina, do mahina, kab wapis aana nahi bola. And 1 month is gone, 2 months is gone, 6 months are gone. Imagine Dashrath's modes would be driving him crazy, isn't it? His vata would be going mad according to this philosophy. His mind would be going crazy. Kithar bhej diya, this seva and that seva. And then one devotee came and told me that, he was telling me some quotes from a similar book like that, and he was telling how my leader never understands my needs. He's just torturing me like anything and always tells me to do things like that. So when our moods drive us to do something and philosophy tells to suppress the moods, or it becomes difficult, it becomes so difficult because they are the worldly kings. Moods tell us sleep, we do not want, and philosophy says do not sleep. Modes tell us eat too much, philosophy says do not eat too much. Modes say enjoy, philosophy says do not enjoy. Modes say just let your desires loose, philosophy say have a discipline. एंड स्पेशली वेन वी रीड सच बुक्स देन माइंड इवन गोज क्रेजी. हाँ ये पॉइंट सही है रे. सो देन आई वॉज थिंकिंग वाओ दैट्स व्हाट प्रभुपाद मेंट मायावादी भाष्य सुनिले हय सर्वनाश. यू सी आई मीन एज सुन एज यू रीड दिस बुक्स वी जस्ट गेट सो ऑब्सेस्ड यू नो just to let your desires flow. And then the whole Bhagavatam actually starts sounding irrational, or what you say, purane zamane ka, you know, old, outdated ho gaya, you know, it doesn't work. And this is such a danger, and we, at least I have experienced, and some devotees I was sharing, we have experienced getting infected with ideas by reading subject matters which say, let your modes loose, let your modes be the king. But here it is telling, no one in this world, even a demigod, what to speak an earthly king? Demigods are also controllers, right? Sometimes we also get obsessed, you know. Sometimes this desire, there's a, you know, when we hear about doing sadhana and becoming serious in Krishna consciousness, sometimes says, nahin, apne se nahin hoga, you know, mera to ketu hi kharab hai. मेरा तो राहु ही खराब है एंड आई जस्ट कांट डू इट. चैतन्य चरण प्रभु राइट्स अ बुक एनर्जी, यू नो, आई डोंट नो इफ एनीबडी रीड दैट बुक. इट्स अ बुक एनर्जी, वेरी नाइस बुक. एंड ही सेज समटाइम्स वी जस्ट आर नॉट रेडी टू चेंज अवर सेल्फ बिकॉज वी थिंक मैं बना ही ऐसा हूं. माई जीन्स आर कंट्रोलिंग मी और सम हायर पावर्स आर कंट्रोलिंग मी. आई कैन नॉट चेंज एंड इट्स अ फैक्ट. मोड्स आर पावरफुल, वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू चेंज. But this verse is, no one in this world, no power can defeat a devotee with his strength, provided a devotee learns how to take shelter of Shri Krishna. So then I was remembering this wonderful verse which I was also sharing in, you know. Okay, another thing. You know, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is another verse, you know, which first canto it comes. त्यक्त्वा स्वधर्मं चरणाम्बुजं हरेर् भजन् अपक्वोत्थपते ततो यदि. नो भागवतम राइट इन द बिगिनिंग इज नॉट इंटरेस्टेड इन टॉकिंग अबाउट द मोड्स. यू आर इन दिस मोड और दैट मोड. इट डज समवेयर, ओके, वी कैन टेक लेसन्स. बट द भागवतम्स मेन थिंग इज त्यक्त्वा स्वधर्मम. अगर किसी ने अपना स्वधर्म छोड़ भी दिया एंड ही लैंड्स अप डूइंग ट्राइंग टू डू प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस, and even if he falls down in the process, what is the loss? But if he is so careful about what his modes are and what his needs are and just too obsessed with that, and he is not developed the maddening desire to become Krishna consciousness, what is the gain on this part? And then from there, when the Narad Muni Vyasadeva Samvad starts, then canto after canto, Bhagavatam is like fanaticism of creating madness for Krishna. There is no conception of considering any other power. Madness of Krishna can dispel all other powers. And one after another, the whole Bhagavatam, it makes you mad. Bhagavad Gita, sometimes Bhagavad Gita seems to be a basic book. But if somebody reads Bhagavad Gita as it is, by Srila Prabhupada, by the purports of Srila Prabhupada, if somebody just humbly takes shelter of those purports create a madness for Krishna's Supreme Personality in Vrindavan Dham. Shri Shama Sundar, you know, Prabhupada writes at one place, no other form but Shama Sundar. Creates, if somebody reads, he will go mad. It's but natural that he'll get so attached to Krishna at the end of the life that he will just, he has to go back to Godhead. That is Bhagavad Gita. So powerful. Prabhupada's purports. So the Prabhupada, now Prabhupada in each purport is going, so become a devotee of Krishna. So become a devotee of Krishna. Even in verses like Karmanyevadhikaraste, or even in, you know, some verses talking about modes, Imam Ushpitam Vacha Pravadanti Avipaschita, which are talking that how we are all controlled by modes, we have to do our karma as per our nature. But at the end of the purport, Prabhupada gives a punch. You know, okay, become a devotee and then you can do it. Chants, take Sankirtan Yajna, you can do it. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna, you can do it. He goes purport by after purport. He goes heavy. The one person who came to Prabhupada and he was sitting, there's a table on the floor and he's sitting here and Prabhupada is trying to tell him some concept and Prabhupada is telling some analogy. Do you understand the difference between cotton ball and cotton shirt? Is there any difference between cotton ball and cotton shirt? And he says, no. And Prabhupada is telling, trying to understand. What I am asking, cotton ball and cotton shirt, are they different or not? And he is telling, no. Now see, there is so much dullness. He is telling, no. It went 3-4 times. Do you understand cotton ball and cotton shirt? He said, no. Prabhupada went to him, took his collar. Do you understand cotton ball and cotton shirt? He just shook him like that. And then he was like, ah, there is difference, there is difference. It took him that much to understand. And then he left, and then Prabhupada called all his brahmachari grihastha who were young disciples standing there. He said, an old man and a small child can go anywhere and say anything. You can't do that. You know, I can't do that. But the point is, a person who is so overwhelmed by the powers of this world, my conditioning, my background, and my nature is like that, and I have sensual desires, and I cannot control my senses. See, the moment we look into this material world, it's difficult to conquer this material world. Very difficult. But the moment somebody focuses his attention on Krishna and understands Krishna's power, the more and more one hears about Krishna, one gets overwhelmed. And when one gets overwhelmed, one gets madness for Krishna. Originally one was mad for senses, but hearing, one become mad for Krishna. Sorry, Krishna is here, senses are here. So one becomes mad for Krishna, it just becomes easy to run. And big obstacles are just covered. Our senses might be agitating, our mind might be agitating, and sometimes it does agitate and it makes you fall down at times. Still, the madness makes you get up and go further. So the whole goal in Krishna consciousness is become mad for Krishna. And the more one hears attentively, more one becomes mad. Like I was thinking, not that Draupadi and Arjun and all those, they don't have problems in their life. When Abhimanyu died, Arjun cried like anything. Draupadi cried like anything when the sons are dying. When Draupadi was disrobed in the assembly, she cried on the shoulder of Krishna like anything. So somebody may say, they should be Brahma Bhuta, Prasannatma, Na Shochati, Na Kangshati, Samaha Sarveshu. Brahma Bhuta hona chahiye na? No problem. Died. See, the very fact they are in material world, they are having their... They are getting affected by the world. And many such things are affecting us day after day. But somebody who has heard, he has generated a madness for Krishna. These oceans of problems will just reduce. No strength of inner conditioning, no strength of inner anarthas, no outer strength, no strength of our senses, no strength of our mind can temporarily it may defeat. You know, like we have a battle and a war, like that. What is war? War is small or battle is? Yeah, so we may lose some war, but then we win the battle. Something like that, right? Huh? Whatever, one is small, one is big. So you may lose something and then you lose. So one may lose small battles and then ultimately the war you win. Therefore, I like this verse I was quoting on Sunday feast also. Bhaktim muhu pravahatam. What is that? Tvai me prasango. Bhuyadananta mahatam amalashayanam. See, I'm just talking about this theme, strength. The material world has the strength to take us away from Krishna. And the more we think about those factors, the more we go away from Krishna. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, do not think of those factors too much. Do not think how senses are powerful. Do not think too much how mind is powerful. Do not think that you are badly conditioned by your genes and by your demigods and by your Rahu, Ketu and vagaira. Because these powers are very, very powerful. But Bhagavatam says, okay, you become mad for Krishna. Let us talk about this subject. And when you become mad for Krishna, other powers become insignificant. And how that madness develops, Dhruva Maharaj is praying. Bhaktim muhu pravahatam. Muhu, constantly. Pravahatam. Take association of those devotees, those who are constantly performing varieties of devotional service. Those who are mad for Krishna. Tvai me prasango. I am asking such intimate association which creates madness for Krishna and not that which overwhelms you with the powers of this world. Are bhakti kaise karega?
मुश्किल है, बहुत मुश्किल है, ये जगत तो बहुत खतरनाक है. या व्हाटएवर, वर्ल्ड हैज इज ओन डेंजर्स, बट प्रसंगो टेक एन इंटीमेट एसोसिएशन ऑफ समथिंग विच क्रिएट्स मैडनेस फॉर कृष्णा. भूयात अनंत महताम ऑफ दोज ग्रेट सोल्स अमलाशयानम, दे आर फ्री फ्रॉम मेटीरियल कंटेमिनेशन, दे आर नॉट वरिड अबाउट मेटीरियल पावर्स. हाउ मेटीरियल पावर्स आर ओवरवेलमिंग, दे आर एंड दे विल ओवरवेलम अस एट टाइम्स, नो प्रॉब्लम. देन ही सेज येनं जस उल्बनम उरु व्यसनम भवाब्धिम. येन अंजस, what is anjasa? Very easily and very interesting, ek ke baad ek, you know, see the adjectives used here or the words used here. Ulbanam, terrible. Uru, great. Vyasanam, full of dangers. Bhavabdhim, ocean of material existence. It's like Bhagavatam is telling, we know it's dangerous, we know the ocean is full of problems, external and internal. People are trying to take away you from bhakti, like Arjun. Urvashi came to take away Arjun. I'm talking about beauty also. You see? People, and then fame. At one point it says, Pandava's fame could even defeat the fame of celestial planets. Riches, even Indra aspired for the opulences of Pandavas. See, all these four, they are classic examples of Pandavas. Even the demigods aspire for the riches, fame. When they performed 3 Ashwamedh Yajnas, their fame became equal to Indra, who has done 100. Somebody has done a lot of activity, but somehow another devotee becomes famous who has done nothing apparently. Why? Because somebody who is in touch with Krishna, his fame defeats all the fames. So he says, so this verse says, that this ocean is full of dangers, terrible dangers, great dangers. It is an ocean which is very vast. You'll wonder, how will I cross it? So the moment we look at the astrological charts of ours and our modes and our conditionings and our internal struggles, and the more we contemplate, like Arjuna was contemplating, Drishtvemam Swajanam Krishna. Krishna said, who the hell told you to contemplate like that? You know, in a simple language. Why are you thinking so much about this? I am sitting on a chariot. You don't look at me. And you are looking, oh, so much, you know, anxiety that is causing you. Krishna, I am there with you. Sab chhod ke aaya hu. Na karagadne ko tayar hu. And you are thinking, no, I don't want to fight. You know? And then he says, Nesha bhavat guna katha mrita panamata. So when in such association we hear Krishna's glories, then the ocean becomes just so small. So many battles lost, but the war won at the end. So no power of worldly king, of demigods, or even the worldly kings in the form of 3 modes can defeat a devotee with the strength, beauty, fame, or riches. That is what Krishna himself is telling. Provided somebody is ready to get overwhelmed with the words of Krishna by taking such intimate association, prasanga. Hare Krishna. Some few thoughts I had, that's what I shared. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.